Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope that you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
Everybody, my name is Mark Pope. I'm the lead pastor at the church. Chose a great day to be here. I think it's going to be an exciting celebration. Also want to welcome right now people that are sitting out on the patio. Welcome Church on the Porch. There are a whole bunch of people. No, they're not. No. Hey, I just said hi to a bunch of people that don't exist out in the...
Went to Starbucks.
Hi, they all went to Starbucks. Okay. Still trying to figure out this doing, you know, church here and then simulcast thing. So I'm going to start over. Okay, I'll start over. Hi, everybody. My name's Mark Pope, and we don't have church on the porch during this time, so I'll not say hi to them. So the basic framework for what we're about to experience in here, we're going to hear a lot of testimonies, God's stories about his activity in people's lives. And so we'll hear a testimony, and then we're going to have a chance to respond to that through worship, maybe through singing or watching a video. Joan, if you want to make your way up, Joan will be our first testimony. And while she comes, will you all just pray with me? God, we just thank you for this time, and we pray for the hearts of those that will share their testimonies. We pray for our hearts. And we invite you, Lord, to speak through everything that's going on today. We hope it's pleasing to you. And we invite you to do work in us through our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say, hi, Joan.
Hi. How's everybody? Anyway, I'm excited to be here this morning, share with you. I was baptized 4 years ago in November. And just this past January, I chose to rededicate my life to Jesus, asking and accepting his call to be my Lord and Savior. Before accepting Christ 4 years ago, I was suffering from issues such as abandonment, low self-esteem, and withdrawal. There were just a few stemming back to my early childhood. Why wasn't I good enough for my mother? I was working with a wonderful Christian therapist at the time through issues such as sexual abuse. I'd suffered both as a teen and as a child. I was working through my choices to be in adult relationships that were filled with abuse, two of which were extremely verbal and sexual abusive marriages. They ended up in divorces, so I also had to deal with being divorced multiple times. Basically, I was a mess. I was a failure, a good for nothing. It was Jesus that was the answer, but how could I possibly ask for Jesus or forgiveness or even repentance because I wasn't a sinner? That may not make sense to many of you, but I'd been raised in Christian Science. In Christian Science, not only do you not believe in sickness, but you don't believe in sin. So I was taught, that there was no such thing as sin. So I didn't know how I could possibly ask for forgiveness when I hadn't done a sin. So more study and therapy, I asked Jesus to forgive me, and I was soon baptized 4 years ago. And boy, was I on a high with Christ. But the high didn't last long. I stopped going to church, and I had been going to church here, and it was wonderful, but it didn't last very long. And shortly after that, I lost my older brother to cancer, and my mother was so devastated by his passing that she pushed me away again. So abandonment, once again, was part of my life. So my answer was to start drinking. All of my problems were numb. Couldn't be my fault. I was in a healthy marriage, but my marriage started declining. This marriage wasn't an abusive marriage or anything like that. It was a healthy, but I was convinced that I wasn't that bad because I did my drinking alone. The problem was that I was doing it morning, noon, and night, drinking, morning, noon, and night. For a while, I had everybody fooled, even myself. It was this past November when my husband was faced with an emergency open-heart surgery that I was faced with the decision either to lose my husband my marriage, and possibly myself to alcohol, that I needed to ask for Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. The decision wasn't easy. The work I needed to do wouldn't be easy, and it would be just the beginning. It was the time for me to repent and ask for help, not only from Jesus. My husband recovered away from home for 6 weeks, in which time I had to trust in Jesus that this was part of his plan for me. When my husband returned home at Christmas, he had seen such a remarkable transformation in me and myself with my Lord, he asked me to remarry him as a Christmas present. Thank you. Something which we'll do in July for his birthday. I continued in my faith walk and studying God's Word, attending church weekly, now back at the Vineyard. I came back in December. I attend Celebrate Recovery weekly, which has been a wonderful program for me. And it's when I truly made my commitment to life that I knew I wouldn't be alone again. Then another blow. I was diagnosed just a couple months ago with cancer, which the doctors weren't sure of the outcome, and I was forced to make the decision to have a double mastectomy. The surgery was 2 weeks following. This time, I had a church family to support me. Jesus was there for me every step of the way, and never once did I falter. He replaced my fear with serenity. Once again, 5 days after my surgery, Satan would attack. I received a call telling me that my mother had passed away. Although devastated by this news, I refused to allow my relationship to Jesus, with Jesus, to be destroyed. Picking up a drink or ruining my relationship with my husband was not an option. I by no means want it to seem like passing of my mother, my surgery, or quitting drinking has been easy. But with Jesus by my side, I was reborn. I am learning the true meaning of what it takes to be humble. For the first time in my life, I feel like I am developing a family here, and I can count on the Father that will never leave me. I could not fix myself. I needed Jesus, and God sent him. Thank you.
Caitlin, come on over. Everybody say, hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, buddy. So, I grew up a Catholic, and I thought that faith meant not breaking any of the rules, and that otherwise I could live however I wanted. I experienced a lot of guilt whenever I fell short, but the guilt produced no lasting change in my life. Then in college, I dated a guy for 2 years, and we began to consider marriage. He was adamantly opposed to Catholicism, so I began to consider whether or not I wanted to be Catholic. It was through that process that I realized that my salvation could only come by God's grace through Jesus Christ, not by my own works. At the same time, the guy I was dating ended our relationship, and I realized that my identity had been bound up in that relationship. I began to pray for God to show me who I was and who he wanted me to be, and for him to make me into that person. So that was in September of last year that began, and I experienced a lot of loneliness in terms of human relationships, but in the midst of that, God began to strengthen and transform me. I feel now like a completely different person, because I have accepted God's grace and know that my identity is in Christ. I went through a period of personal spiritual growth, praying and studying the Bible, and lately I have felt that God is calling me to show my faith to others, not just to be transformed inwardly, but to outwardly live my faith before my family, my friends, and strangers.
Everybody say, hi, Lincoln.
Hi. Before I committed to Jesus, I was lost. How I encountered Christ was here. I was about the age of 10 or 11 when I realized I needed a Savior.
say hi, Nick.
Amen. How's it going? I'm not going to read off what I had because it was kind of bland and something came up. Okay, so I'm what's known as the accident child, getting stitches, you know, every summer, you know, that kind of stuff. Exactly. And this, I'll get to this. So a couple years back, I had a appendicitis. My appendix ruptured. Went from this side to this side, made a whole bunch of mess. I had it in me for 3 days. You know, bacteria building up, it was an absolute mess. And I now realize that, you know, it was the Holy Spirit, it was Jesus keeping me, you know, alive. My only symptom was a fever and a little bit of back pain. So that's how strong he was. It wasn't until later my mom and my dad took me to the hospital and they immediately got me into surgery. Before that, I've had, I don't know, maybe 7 scars on my skull. No, I have a scar on my tongue from a car accident. Knees, elbows. I broke my elbow one time. That was hilarious. I actually was in a race. And I put my arms out, and it, like, fractured my elbow because I hit the wall. That was fun. I won the race. That was the good part. Now, this reminded me of one of the other pastors when he described his foot. You know, he wouldn't take his back his foot injury for anything, you know. So that's what this reminded me of, because it happened, I don't know, last Wednesday, Tuesday, sometime last week. And I am completely lucky. I had a fight with a table saw, and I lost. I was helping one of the maintenance men at my job. He was making drawers because we're low on inventory and we didn't have a lot, so we're making them. I was helping him, and I had my finger in the wrong spot at the wrong time, and I still have it, thank God. And that's the thing. It would have been very easy for me to cut off my finger. But luckily, it's just a little bit of bone damage and, you know, just a little bit of flesh gone. Nothing too major. But this is my way of realizing, this is my way of thanking him for everything that he's done, keeping me safe all these years. That's it.
We should probably, you know, like, pray for Nick that he'll make it through the day. If we have any ushers, we could just assign you to Nick so that he can get to the camp. Okay, so just be careful today. After you get baptized, do whatever you want. But before, don't put your... Sorry, it was just in my mind. Everybody say hi, Susan.
Hi. I first encountered the Lord my freshman year of college 7 years ago, but it wasn't until last year that I fully surrendered my life to the Lord, giving him the right to rule my life. Ever since then, I've experienced loss, setbacks, and hard lessons, but I've also experienced much grace, peace, and joy. Above all, he has given me hope and a future. Not just any hope, but a living hope that has given me much assurance and endurance along the way. It's exciting to be one of the 70 or so people sharing a testimony this weekend, because it not only encourages me, but it speaks of the Lord's great love for his people.
Say hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy. Hi. My life was empty and full of sin. I was lost without a path in the right direction, full of regret, anger, and self-destruction. After I decided to give my life to Christ, I have found peace, acceptance, and feel my life is on a much better path.
Say hi, Teresa.
Hi. I got baptized in 2012. Rededicating my life to Christ this year. So much has happened. I felt myself drifting away from God, partly due from being angry for not receiving healing from my back. I injured from work, financial debt, relationship problems. But instead of focusing on God's word, I focus on my problems. And the last thing that has tested my faith is losing my mom a lot recently. I prayed for months and months before she passed for her to feel better, but I never thought it would end her dying this year. But I had to come to realize it's in God's hand, and she is no longer in pain. To cast my cares and my life belongs, and no longer blame myself, that he's in control. That God loves me no matter what, if I'm laughing or if I'm crying. He will always hold me tight and pick me up when I fall, and I'm never alone or lost again. I'm a child of Almighty God, and I have peace inside of me from him.
How are you? Good. Everybody say, hi, Alexandra.
Hi. How are you doing? Well, in the past, I was saved before, but I backslid. So 2 years ago, I asked God, I accepted Christ in my life, and he changed my life, and I changed my way of living. And I wanted to live for God. I didn't want to live forever. And I was watching Dr. Stanley, on Channel 46, and I asked God to save me and forgive me for my sins, and I wanted to live for him. God changed my life. I see things differently. I love everybody. He blessed me in all kinds of ways. Without God, you're not really totally happy or fulfilled. He'll give you joy, peace, love. And I wanted to walk with Christ. I'm going to walk closer to Jesus. It's the best thing I could ever done. I love Jesus.
Josh. Everybody say, hi, Josh.
Good afternoon. I was raised in a house with God my whole childhood. After I graduated, I moved out and fell very far from him. I started partying and using drugs and alcohol. It got to a point to where I didn't care about my life anymore or anybody else's. In May 1st of 2011, my oldest brother died of a drug overdose. Shortly after that, I met my wife, and we started dating. We both got jobs, moved out, started figuring out how to live on our own, the adult life, got married, had two kids. January of this year, my grandma Deke died, who was my spiritual rock. And I started to realize that we were living our life the way it was supposed to be lived as adults, but we weren't living it for God. So we started coming to the Vineyard, and it has got to a point now to where we look forward to every Sunday and Saturday. We love coming in here. So I want to get baptized to thank God for blessing me with two kids and a family, even though I had very sinful nature. And to show a good role model for my kids.
So Josh had a sinful nature. He's the only one, right? Nobody else relates to that at all. You saw somebody over here I know has one. I'm just kidding, Patrick. Hi, Sammy. Wasn't that good? Hear your husband share this story? All right. Everybody say, hi, Sammy.
Hi. Well, since my husband
just a little bit closer.
I don't have to, right? He said no. It all for me. No. Before Christ, I was an alcoholic. At 18. At the age of 22, my husband lost his grandma. The day we laid her to rest, I look back at her grave and I seen a rainbow coming from her grave. I knew in my heart that there was a higher power. And since then, I don't smoke and I don't drink anymore. I love my husband now more than ever. And I love my children and my family. But most of all, I've decided to follow Jesus.
How you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing good.
All right. Everybody say, hi, Sarah.
Hi, you guys. So my life before I came to Christ was messed up and ugly. I was selfish, greedy for the wrong stuff, and complained about everything. And so one day at camp, I gave my life to Jesus. I was about 9 years old, and it was my second year at camp. The camp that snapped me into reality is called Camp Braver. I've been going since I was 8, and am still attending and learning new things. I was at campfire at camp, and we had just learned about David and Goliath. That's when I realized that I need Jesus to get through the hardships of life. I knew I was not going to be able to do it alone. I asked my counselor to pray with me, and she gave me devotions and a Bible to go home and do. Since I dedicated my life to Christ, I'm experiencing happiness. I don't want what everyone else has. I think it would be cool to have what they have sometimes, but I don't want it. I'm greedy for God. I have learned to find joy in what I have, and that life is not as bad as it seems. I have learned that everything God has blessed me with is amazing. I am gracious to have food and water. I know I am a lot better off than a lot of people, but it is through Christ that I can come to realize this. Christ has given me peace. When my great-grandma Phyllis passed away, it was devastating, but Christ gave me strength. He reminded me that if I believe that Christ died so I can live for him, and reminded me that my great-grandma loved Jesus in church, but most of all loved to worship the Lord. So that also pushed me just enough to realize my time to get baptized is now.
Thank you, guys. Why don't we all stand? Going to finish our time together with another opportunity for worship. As I consider the stories of God's interaction with people, in some ways, they're all unique. You know, little points in life where God used specific circumstances to draw them into a relationship with Jesus. And then in other ways, there's kind of some common themes. The fact that so many of us, whether we meant to or not, we end up going away from God or living apart from God or wrongly thinking, oh, what I need is, you know, worldly stuff. But the consistent theme in there is God calls us to him. And He is amazing, and we should worship him at least a little more before we go do the party and the baptism and all that stuff. So let me pray, and we'll honor him for a few more minutes. God, you get the credit. Someday, when so many of us, through Christ, we will be in heaven because you have forgiven our sin, and you've called us to be your children. And you get the credit for all of that. If it were up to us, Lord, we would not make it. We just would be a mess. And so we thank you for intervening and for calling and for inviting us and for paying the price for our sin. Somebody had to pay the price for our sin. It was either going to be us or we needed this God who would send his son on our behalf. So we honor you as the God, the Father in heaven, who would sacrifice his son on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to interrupt for just a minute. The song just said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Following Christ, there are times in our lives where you have an opportunity to make decisions that are super, 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 super important. right? Some of the times we make decisions and we do things that are bad, 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 bad. And other times you have an opportunity to make a great decision. And today we're going to give you an opportunity to make a great decision if you are not a follower of Jesus. There are probably a few groups of people in the room. One, you're following Christ. You made that decision. And you're serious and you're connected to Him and you're seeing His activity in your life. There's probably another group, if you're honest or aware, you used to follow Christ and you're just not anymore. Now, you happen to be at church, and maybe you've consistently been at church, but you're not following anymore. The reality is you're kind of playing the Christian game, and you're a poser, you know. And by the way, you can fake this stuff quite a while, and you might kid me, you might fool other people, but God knows. Isn't that a bummer? He always just knows, right? But you may realize you've been faking it for 6 months or 6 years or... It doesn't mean that there wasn't a time when you were authentic, but you lost it somewhere. You may not even have meant to, you just have lost it somewhere. So there's a group, that's a group. Also, and the last group is you may have never understood or heard the good news of Jesus' capacity to forgive your sin and give you new life. And today, you're at church and you're like, oh, I get it. I need Jesus. And so what we're going to do is as a large group, many of us are going to go back and we're going to sing this, I have decided to follow Jesus. But in every service so far, there have been a significant group of people that have decided to come forward and declare, I'm going to follow Jesus. And I think for some of those, it's a recommitment. And others, it is a commitment today. God is tugging on their heart and you're like, I get it. I need that Savior. So I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna come down, and if you are in one of those groups, you're gonna have to make a decision, and the decision is gonna be you're gonna come up and stand in the front and hold my hand, and we've had just lots of people. We're just gonna hold hands together as a sign, as a commitment to Christ, and also we're gonna be public. And all right, so let me pray, and we're gonna pray that God. Is very clear with you whether He is calling you to make a decision today. So, Father, again, we prayed this a lot today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we submit every voice to Him. Anything that anyone might hear in their spirit, Lord, we just declare that it's that any false spirits or false voices would be silenced, and everybody would have the capacity to hear the voice of God very clearly. Even if they've never heard the voice of God before, Lord, you are here. This is your building. This is your space. So we bind the enemy in Jesus' name and declare that this place is a place of freedom. And so for those, Lord, that you are reaching out to today as an invitation back to relationship with Jesus, or for the first time being born again, starting a new life in Christ, pray that you'd speak to him right now. And if it's you, folks, you will know it. You will know it. The only thing that you will have to decide is whether you will respond to it. And I hope that you will. All right? So I'm going to get down off the stage and we're going to sing... I have decided to follow Jesus. And if you are making a decision today, as soon as we start singing, you just come forward and grab my hand, and then we'll do a group prayer over you. So I'm going to invite some of the pastors to come over, and we're going to take a couple minutes, going to pray a prayer, going to be laying hands on these people. And church, if this is your church home, if you've been around the Vineyard, you know the drill. We're just going to pray for the activity. How many of you know we do not know exactly what's going on in the hearts of these people, but God is doing things in them. For some, it's going to be one of those first-time commitments, and others, there's recommitments here. So let's pray. God, we just pray a blessing on these people and the activity of your Spirit on them. We thank you, Lord, that you are the initiator of grace. You saw us. Some of us you've seen many times, and you just keep reaching out and saying, I love you. I paid the price for you. I want you in my family. Lord, you look and you look at some of these men and you say, you're my son. I want you to be my son. I invite you into the family. You look at others here and you say, that's my daughter there. I want that. I want her to be my daughter. So we pray for just the spirit of sonship to come on. And this just the ability for these people to know how precious they are. We pray for an infilling in the power of the Holy Spirit to experience more and more and more just life change. Lord, if there's a besetting sin, one of those things that they've been trying to quit for a long time, and we all know what that's like, that today, Lord, for some of them, you would just give them grace to stop. Just like all of a sudden, whatever that thing was, they're like, I don't want to do that anymore. We also pray for courage. Because I have yet to see the life that gets absolutely perfect because we receive Jesus. Give them courage if today they face a challenge. Okay, while the pastors are praying for another little bit, I think I need to do this in case there's somebody out there and right now what's going on in your head is, I should have gone forward, but I didn't. Almost every time I've ever done this, there are people who felt like they should come forward, but they just couldn't. And so if that's you, well, guess what? Come on forward. See, there's one. So right now you're thinking, I should be up there. Is there anybody else? Because it would be silly. Can I say that? It would just be silly to refuse an invitation from the creator of the whole universe, the God of the for if God said, hey, I want you in my family, the best move you can make is to say, okay, I'll get in. Can I, right? Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah, there you go, get in. Anybody else? This opportunity's about over. Anybody else coming up? Way to go. You are so smart. Man, that is smart. Anybody else? All right. Coming up. All right. Pray blessing on that guy. Pretty soon everybody's just going to mob the stage. We're all just, let's all just get in. And that'll be great too. Anybody else? Last time. 3, 2, 1. Anybody? All right. This opportunity's finished at this point. God, we pray a blessing, that same blessing we prayed for everybody else, for that next 3 or 4 people, God. Just thank you for your intervention in our lives. We are desperately in need of a Savior. We always have been. We always will be. So this is our attempt to connect with you, Jesus. I thank you that you hold on to us way better than we hold on to you. All right, everybody in the line, this long line, it's kind of a curved line now. If you guys, unless you're already signed up to get baptized today, you guys can just get out of line and go back and sit down. But everybody else, I want you to just go over to that corner for just a minute of information from the pastors. I promise it won't be too weird. They're not gonna take you to a room and give you a Christian tattoo. They're just going to go over there and give you a couple things of information. If you would head over there, and Pastor Allen and Pastor Steve, they'll give you some information. Thank you, Lord, for the invitation, the amazing invitation to be part of the family of God, to be part of the forgiven, or to be part of those that now have an eternal destiny, to be part of those that get to try to carry the great news of Jesus into a world filled with people like us. They just need a Savior too. So we thank you for our time together today. We thank you for the rest of the day up at the party and at the baptism and all those things. Thank you, Lord, for your activity among us. And we ask for more. Just give us more, Lord, and we'll give you all the credit for all the good things you're doing. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray that you were impacted by this message. God bless, and see you next time.